Hi everybody, and welcome to this session. Grow your business online with SharePoint's adaptive experiences. I'm Frederik Holm.
And I'm Stefan Diewald.
And we are senior program managers in the SharePoint product group. Great to see you here this morning. I've understood that there's a great party yesterday. Loud music. And it's great to see that we're all enjoying ourselves during this event. So, in this session, what we'll talk about is some great new features that will help you grow your business online using SharePoint 2013 for your internet site, and also how you can engage your visitors and your customers using SharePoint for your website. And we're very pleased with the kind of feedback we've received so far when it comes to the WCM features. And we're looking forward to seeing all the great sites that will be set up based on these features. So we will, in this session, focus on the on-prem story. And it will be highly demo-driven. We only have 7 content slides. So we'll explain how it's all connected, but you'll actually see it working and how you will work with this on a daily basis. We'll also do this as a role play.
Yes.
So I'll be the less technology knowledgeable business manager. That's a role that suits me quite well.
Yeah, and I will be the IT pro. But Frederik, just because you are wearing a suit, it doesn't mean that I'm doing all the demos today.
So I'm allowed to...
Yeah, you're allowed to touch the keyboard.
Okay, great. Let's see how that goes. So, what we'll talk about and what we would like you to leave this session with is really how SharePoint 2013 enables you to drive an internet site with a few pages in a simple way. You can engage your customers with targeted experiences, and that you can enforce business requirements on top of that platform through rules, campaigns, and create a targeted experience that end-to-end gives you the business performance you're looking for. It's all about business performance and how you can utilize SharePoint 13 to reach those goals. So what we'll start with is show you something that you've seen already during the keynote, actually.
So now you're talking as Frederik, the business manager?
Yeah, so, and we are actually Contoso Electronics in this session. So we'll be going through the demo you saw also during the keynote and that you've seen in some other sessions as well. And we'll go through how you'll live with this on a daily basis. What kind of optimizations would you do from a business perspective? How would you make sure that you reach your business goals when having a site like this? So I have to say, Stefan, that I'm very, very happy with what we've done here.
Yeah, me too.
It's a great look and feel. The navigation is great. We see that we have a lot of categories here. We also see the customer favorites that are sorted based on the kind of feedback we've received for customers. We see staff recommendations, shop by brand, clearance items, which are driven based on what I flag as on sale. And all of this is a great experience. And it looks really good as well. And if I now go to, for instance, a category page, we see my products. We see some refiners on the left-hand side that I can choose amongst. And if I go to one of the products, we see the title, we see the price, we have a rich product description, we even have structured information on specification. So it's, in general, it's a rich experience, and it's on top of the product data that I manage on a daily basis. And what's also nice here is that I'm, as I don't know HTML that well, I'm afraid of changing this site. Like, I don't like to change the site that you see here now. And I don't have to do that.
Because and I don't want to have you do that, actually.
No, no, we've tried that a couple of times, yeah, and that didn't turn out well. So with this model, and how we're managing this now, is really that I don't have to touch this site. But still, I am controlling how it is behaving. And I find that really, really great.
Do you want to show us the catalog that you work with?
Yes, let's go through that. So, to drive this site, we have a product catalog. This is based on the new site collection template that you'll find in SharePoint 2013 called Product Catalog. And what we've done in that site collection is we've enabled all the features that you need to do this in an easy way. It's all about mapping the different term sets and making sure that the site columns are there. The tagging term set is correctly linked in. There are content types here that supports all of this.
And it's actually a different site collection because we want to keep you as far away from our publishing site as possible.
Exactly. So this is the view that I'm working on. And this other site collection isn't something I'm interacting with. And I think that is great. So I can show you how I work with this. And it's quite similar to Excel and lists in general. So what I'll do is, for instance, I can navigate to the category that I'd like to look at. So if I, for instance, go to cameras, you see that I see the cameras data. If I go to digital SLR cameras, you see that I've also now switched to the camera list view, meaning that I see the burst mode, the file image format, the max ISO, zoom, and so on. And if I go to, for instance, the phone category, you see that I have a phone list view, and that data is then pushed like brand and color and review rating and so on. So I think it's a great experience for me to then see the data that's necessary. And we have a lot of data here. This product catalog is very, very rich. I have, and we'll see that later on as well, I think we have more than 100 different columns of metadata for all different types of products. And there's other ways that makes it easy as well. It's easy for me to search, for instance. So I can search up a product, and it's easy to edit as well. We'll take a look at that later on. And what's great is that I do changes in this site collection. It's totally protected from what's going on the public-facing internet site, so I feel safe. I can't break anything. And it's shared then to the public site in a way that we call the catalog settings. So under list settings, I can then show you what I've done. So this is how I've made this catalog available to the publishing site. I've clicked it like enable catalog sharing, and I made it anonymously accessible. So it's very, very easy to make it available to the publishing site. So maybe, Stefan, you can explain how that's actually behaving.
Yeah. So we are using a new feature in SharePoint 2013, which is called cross-site publishing. And in very simple terms, cross-site publishing allows you to reuse content from lists and document libraries across site collection boundaries. So in our example, we have on the left-hand side the product catalog that Fredrik is working with. And it's only a few domain users that have access to that product catalog. Once you share it, so once you have basically marked that checkbox that you have shown us, that product catalog information is being indexed in the fast search index of SharePoint. And from there, it is accessible to other site collections, like the publishing portal that we use for our website on the right-hand side, which is then being accessed by anonymous site visitors from the web. So there are two things to call out here. First of all, this has nothing to do with list views. So you don't have to worry about anonymous access and list views and make anonymous access available to the web that the list is living in. This is all run from search. And the second thing to point out is that this is a many-to-many relationship. So I can have one product catalog, and then the content is being reused by multiple publishing portals. Or the other way around, you have one publishing portal that is connecting to multiple product catalogs. So if we, for example, have the home appliance category that is managed by a different team in a different catalog, even a different department in a different site, it is very easy from the publishing portal to connect to multiple catalogs and then create a consistent user experience using search. So it has become very easy to reuse content from lists and libraries using cross-site publishing in SharePoint 2013.
Yeah, and I think that's great. And back to my point, when, like, on the left-hand side, on the admin side, I feel totally safe doing changes there. There's no risk for me breaking what's going on the publishing portal. And on that point on reusing catalogs, I'll actually demo that for you. So here I have an empty site. This is an empty publishing site. Nothing has been configured for this yet. And what we'll do now is we'll connect to the same catalog as you've seen that we use on our public site already. And this then shows you how you can do that one-to-many relationship when you then connect to catalogs. So if I go to site settings, and I go to the option you see here, manage catalog connections, if I here then click connect to a catalog, you see that this is the product Contoso Electronics catalog.
So this is basically the checkbox, right? When you checked your catalog and you shared it, it shows up here. If you have multiple catalogs in your system, multiple catalogs would show up here.
And this is already connected to the publishing site, but now we'll connect it into this site collection as well.
Right.
So I'll connect it. I'll specify what I would like the root node to be when it comes to the page navigation. The out-of-the-box, the default settings here are OK, so I'll just click OK. And what's happening now is that this site collection hooks up to the navigational structure of my product catalog and also connects to the items. And everything is now driven through search and then the term store. So what you saw here now was that on the top here, you see navigation popped up automatically. And you see the navigation here as well. So all my categories are actually available here. And if I now go to laptops, let's go there. Here you see my product. That easy. And this is an extremely easy way of doing content reuse. And again, this is, now we have different site collections as well. So this
and
is.
And it could be actually that far that you have your product catalog in your intranet and then reuse the content on your publishing site facing anonymous users. The only requirement is that you are using the same search index.
So if I go to the item here, you see all the metadata, and I'm connected. This site is now connected to the product catalog. But I have
Do you want to show the pages library just to see what has happened there?
Yes. So this is the pages library before I connected. And if I do a refresh on this now, let's see what happened. Two pages has been added. So two pages has been added, and that is driving the experience containing 33 categories and 1,000 products. Back in 2010, we would actually have 1,000 pages here now. But now we're driving everything by adding those two pages. It's like magic.
Yeah, it's cross-site publishing, actually.
So And we'll come back to that later on as well, but what's really good is that when we then do changes, we only have to change these two pages. So from a sustainability perspective, it's way easier to then manage and optimize the experience in a way that that makes this agile. So maybe you could...
So let's talk about the presentation element, because the thing that you have done now is just to connect to the content. You haven't been working with the presentation at all.
I think the concept here is great, but it's not really the look and feel that we're going for. We don't want our end users to actually have this kind of experience. So still, the data is available, but maybe we can do something with the look and feel. And
but that is easy to fix, because what you've done so far is to connect to the catalog. So you're reusing the data, but you're not doing anything with the presentation. And if you look at how the layout is different between your toy site that you just connected to and our production site, it is basically three things. It is different master pages, different page layouts, and different display templates. So display templates are new in SharePoint 2013. It is basically the new client-side rendering story of SharePoint. A display template defines how the content that you're reusing, that is coming from search, is actually being rendered on the page. So in order to make the site look great, to look like the production site we had, let me just take this one. So the web design story for SharePoint 2013 has changed quite significantly. So you no longer depend on the SharePoint designer. What you now can do is basically to work with your web designer and web developer. You can create sketches. You can do compositions in HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. And you can simply upload them to SharePoint. Once you have done that, they will be automatically converted into SharePoint master pages, SharePoint layouts. And from then on, you can continue to work either from within SharePoint using web parts or configure, for example, the channel settings that you have if you want to have an optimized experience for different form factors or different devices. Or you can continue to work in the web development tool of your choice, whether this is Dreamweaver or Expression Web or whatever what you're using. So making a site look great has become very, very simple with SharePoint 2013.
Yeah, and I know that the lead time from when we do the design sketches and until we have something ready is way reduced now. And the design agency that we're using, they're very happy as well.
Right.
So this is definitely a huge improvement for how we're using SharePoint. So that's just great.
Should I just show you the final site? Just walk you through that?
Yeah, that would be great.
So you've shown that a bit, but let me give you more like a technical pitch of how this is done. So now we have created three different pages. We have added a welcome page. On that welcome page, you have the top navigation we've seen before. It is using the same structure. It just looks differently because we have applied some custom CSS here. Down here, we have added four different web parts. They are used in different tabs. And they're based on the content search web part, which is a new web part in SharePoint 2013. It is the web part that is surfacing the reused content from the search index. So in this example, we are basically querying for all the content and then sorting it by the review rating. So this is our customer favorites. When it comes to staff recommendations, Frederick, in your product catalog, you actually have a flag that you can mark an item as a staff recommendation, and it's then showing up here. It's the same thing with clearance items, that you can easily mark a product to be on clearance. The next site I want to show you is the category pages. So this category page, again, is using a single content search web part in order to render all the products that you're seeing here. Actually, I can show you how that is done. So let me edit the page.
So this is the part I don't touch. I don't dare to do this kind of things.
Yeah, and
but
I'm
as
glad
long
that
as
you
I have you,
that.
Stefan, it's okay.
So here you can actually see that it is a single page that is used for all 33 categories that you have in your product catalog. So if I'm editing this page, I'm effectively editing that for all 33 categories. So this is the content search web part. Let me just show you how to configure that. So I'm editing the tool pane. And there are two parts, basically, in the tool pane. The first one is about the search criteria, because this is a search-driven system. And the second one is about the presentation. And here you actually pick the display templates that control how the content that is coming from search is being rendered on the page, so that they are looking the way that you see it down here. So if you look at the query, keep in mind it is a query that is retrieving the data. This is a place where you would configure the search query. And what we want the search query to be for a category page is basically a query that is returning all the products that you have tagged with the digital SLR camera category. And it's as simple as having a radio button here to restrict products on the current and the child navigation term. And you even get like a preview of what kind of results you're getting here. And the only difference between this preview and the actual page is that it's using two different display templates. So it is as simple as that to configure that. Let me just discard the checkout for a second. So now if we are going to a details page, again, every product information that you're seeing here is coming from a single content search web part, and then it's a custom display template that makes the page render the title here and the price there, and you know the images should be shown this way. We are able to show rich content. So in your product catalog, you have rich text, and it renders nicely here when we are reusing it. You also have structured content in your catalog, like key value pairs for the specification. And the display template is just simply rendering that as a table. So I've shown you three pages. I've shown you the welcome page. I've shown you the category page and the details page. And that is all it takes in order to render the entire product catalog of some thousand products in 33 categories. So building these kinds of sites has become significantly easy in SharePoint 2013.
So I think that's great, Stefan. But from a business perspective, having a few pages in a pages library, like that's not the business criteria I had to begin with. The criteria I had was really, we need to be able to optimize the experience. Mm. And what I think is great is that we're able to do that even though we are driving the whole experience on top of a few pages. So let me just show you a couple of examples here. So if in the camera category, you'll see that I have zoom and screen size. And if I go to computers, you'll see that we don't have these kind of refiners. And if I go to, for instance, tablets, you'll see screen size and weight. So we're actually able to configure this kind of experience per category. So what we're using for this is a new feature in SharePoint 2013, which is called faceted navigation. And that is fantastic for me as a business manager to make sure that my customers find the products they're looking for. So on the left-hand side, you see all my different categories. I have 33 of them in this example. So it's really a lot of different categories, and it's a hierarchy. In the middle, you see examples of my product metadata. I have cameras, where I have zoom and megapixels. And I, for tablet category, I have hard drive and weight. So, and these are examples of metadata I have in my product catalog. And what's important is that my customers can navigate and find the items using those metadata. If you're looking for a camera with 18 megapixels, you don't want to go through all products and look for it. You would like to select 18 megapixels, and there you are. So that is what SharePoint 2013 offers out of the box using search refiners. So on the right-hand side, you then see how we aggregate across those product metadata information to then show you those options. So you can select here between zoom 3x or 5.8. You can select megapixels. That's for the camera. And for tablets, you can select amongst weight and hard drive. And I, as a business manager, actually decides what options should be shown per category. So that is the what's called faceted navigation. And maybe, Stefan, you can show us how it's configured.
I'm happy to. So we haven't really talked a lot about the items we see on the left-hand side. So if I go to digital SLR cameras, for instance, as Freddy said, these are search refiners because it's a search-driven system. When you want to use the metadata from your product catalog and then navigate or pivot your data using that data, that is a search refiner in our language. So if I show you what is happening on the page on the left-hand side, so I'm editing it again, Here you are. There are basically two refinement panels here. There's a taxonomy refinement panel. It's a new web part in SharePoint 2013 that allows you to easily refine on tagging information, like the categories that you had. And there's a normal refinement panel that is showing the search refiners specific to this category. Let me just show you where that is coming from. So this is the term store, including the term set that we are using to tag the products. So in here, you see all the 33 categories that we have. If I click on a term, you see that there's a new tab in the term store management UI called Faceted Navigation. And this is the place where I can define the search refiners specifically for a category. So if I go to cameras and digital SLR cameras, I actually see that it is inheriting refiners from the cameras category. So because categorizations are typically hierarchical, there's a simple inheritance model where you can inherit downwards the configuration of refiners.
So again, you don't have to do edit page to actually drive the experience here.
You can
do everything from here.
Yes.
And specify what should be shown per category.
Yeah. So on this one, it is inheriting from the cameras category the price, the refiner, whether it's on sale or not, what the brand is, the color, the zoom, and the screen size. So let's see if we can further optimize the refiners for the digital SLR camera category. So I'm stopping inheritance. I know what I'm doing. And then you can go in here and customize the refiners. So this is the UI where you actually define search refiners in SharePoint 2013. On the right-hand side, you see the already selected search refiners. And on the left-hand side, you see the available refiners. And the system is actually smart. So it's suggesting to me refiners which would be good refiners for all the products that have been tagged with the digital SLR camera category, like the burst mode, how many frames per second the camera can shoot, or max ISO. So what is the highest light sensitivity of the camera? So let's pick this one. And I want to have it show up a bit further up under color. And down here, I actually see a preview of what are the values that the products that are tagged with digital SLR cameras have. So I know it's a number. So I can make it render as a number and pick that the sorting is correctly from small to large numbers. And I save it here. So what I've now done is I've changed the refiners for the SLR camera category to also include max ISO, but I did not change anything on the cameras category. So if we're now going back, we are here, so I'm just refreshing the page. And we see under color, there's a max ISO search refiner showing up. Whereas in the cameras category, it is not. So changing search refiners with SharePoint 2013 has become significantly easier than it was in the past. I mean, people that have used with SharePoint 2010 and search refinement, there was like some XML that you had to paste into some text field. This has changed dramatically.
So what's also important is that we actually see how these changes affect how people find the products we're selling. So the customers need to find the products. And we actually have a great story on that. Let me just show you how I monitor this. So in the product catalog, I can go and see what are the most popular items at all times to then see that the changes we're doing are actually providing a positive effect. So here's the user report that I pulled out. And as you see here, the number of unique users are increasing, but the number of hits, meaning the page views, are increasing even more because they are navigating across the different options, they are finding the different products, and they're able to actually see alternatives, and they're exploring new options. And what we also see then is that the bounce rate has decreased and the conversion rate has increased. So people are actually buying more, and that is great. And
I think for me as an IT pro, what I really like about this report is that There was nothing I had to do with it. It is an out-of-the-box report of SharePoint 2013.
Yeah, and that is just fantastic. And one of the other features that I really, really like, and if I've understood it correctly, it's based on the same concept as this popular items report, is the recommended items. So we even have recommended items. I can go to, for instance, I'll go to desktop this time. Let's go to this one, for instance. You'll see here a section that's called people who like this product also like these products. And this is a great opportunity for me to drive huge cross-sale. So I'll find products here that are related to this product or products that are being shown in the same context, and it's all automatically calculated. I don't have to go in to the product catalog and specify it. It would be way too difficult for me to actually specify per product what the related products would be. So the recommendation functionality in SharePoint 2010 actually does this for me automatically. It tracks what users are doing, and based on that, it looks at some kind of patterns. You'll talk us through that later on, Stefan. But it's actually calculating what is relevant products to the product I'm viewing now. And this is, again, it's out of the box. It's a web part that you just dropped on the page. And it really drives cross-sell and upsell in a really fantastic way. Maybe you can walk us through how that's actually working.
Yes, I'm happy to. So the way how recommendations work is very similar to the most popular items report that Frederick has seen. In order to calculate that report, SharePoint needs to instrument events. So whenever you are viewing a page, SharePoint is instrumenting a view event. And there's actually quite a bit of usage data that occurs over time as your site visitors are interacting with your site. And with SharePoint, there comes out of the box a MapReduce analytics engine that is mining that usage data and is extracting patterns. Like, for example, what are the products that are commonly seen by the same user in the same session? Because that, together with some collaborative filtering, gives us a very good recommendation. And those recommendations are then stored back in the fast search engine of SharePoint, which makes it very easy to include it into the publishing experience again. So on the left-hand side, we see the details page for the Surface, which Contoso Electronics happens to sell as well. And what you can do is just to have a simple search query and then retrieve the recommendations from the search engine, which are specific for the Surface in this case. And again, this works out of the box. There's an out of the box web part. It doesn't require any custom code. The web part is working very similar to the content search web part. You just drop it on the box, it will work. And it gives you the same kind of recommendations as we all know from the biggest retailers on the web. And it is adapting over time. So Frederick, if you are adding a new product to your product catalog, over time, those products will show up for the right products on their details pages.
So is the search storing kind of index activity?
You can query the search index for give me the recommended items for the Surface, because you have the ID of the Surface. And what you get back is like the recommendations that you see at the bottom. Right.
So I think all of this is great, but And that machine learning and how it's updating without me having to specify anything. But sometimes, from a business perspective, you actually need to go in and do some larger changes. So, for instance, we have a business challenge in Contoso Electronics these days. We know that there's a Finnish phone company that will launch a new phone in 4 weeks' time, and we have a warehouse
full of these
really, really old phones, and we need to get rid of them. So how will we actually do that? How would we do such a change? And I'll show you now. Because what we've discussed is we'll start with a 50% discount. So let me show you. So first I go to the product catalog. I would go to then the mobile phone category. Let's see. So that's the mobile phone. And the item that we're talking about is called L250. So I'll just search for that. And I'll go and edit this list. Here you see the price. I think a fair price would be $129. And I think I'll also flag it as on sale so that it appears on the front page. So by doing this, we have now, and it takes a minute and then it's live on the site, and we have now a 50% discount live. What we've also been working on is a social story here. So what happened in the background now is that on our Facebook page, this is added to our news feed. So, because we have a good community and they're very interested in these kind of campaigns that we're running. So, what I'll do now is I'll go to this to the Contoso Facebook page, and let's see, 34 seconds ago, on sale, the phone company L250, the new price is $129. So we've created then a social experience here as well on top of the product catalog. And I can also show you what this would look like in my newsfeed. I never know what's appearing in my newsfeed, but what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, I guess. So let's see. How does this appear? Is it here somewhere? There it is. Contoso on sale. So I'm pushing this out to all of Contoso's friends. They are now notified that we have this product on sale. And we have a great response on that. Maybe you could explain how that's working.
Absolutely. So this was actually very easy to set up. What I've done is I've attached a workflow to the product list. And I'm using one of the new declarative workflows in SharePoint 2013. Declarative means that I can make them work without any custom code. It's a simple configuration of a workflow. And what this workflow does, it is just listening for product changes in the list. And whenever I'm changing or Frederick is changing the price, the workflow kicks off. And what it does, it just reads the properties of the item, like the title and the price. And then it's doing a simple HTTP post to Facebook to update our newsfeed. It is really as simple as that. No custom code. It's just a simple configuration of a workflow.
Yeah, and we see the feedback people then clicking in from Facebook. It's just great. So,
do you want to show the updated site?
Yeah. So let's see how this has been updated on our site. Then, let's go to the Contoso Electronics site, and if you go to the front page. What I did, I flagged it as on sale. So you actually see it here now. And you see the new price, $129. And if I go to phones and mobile phones, you'll see it here as well. But still, I don't think it's that visible for customers visiting the site. You need to actually look for you need to look for this kind of text here. And it's not popping in a way. Can we make it pop?
Sure. How do you want to make it pop?
Like more graphical, maybe, if you could add a banner
or something like that. So this is very easy to do in SharePoint 2013 using query rules. So keep in mind, this is a search-driven system. So it's a search query that is retrieving the data that is shown on this page. And query rules allow you to have basically business logic on top of queries and results. And I can show you how to do this. So I'm going to site settings here. Down here, there's query rules. And I've created a sample query rule for that already. I call it the phone best bet. Let me show you what it does. So it fires only on the mobile phones category. And what it does is to add a promoted result to the result set that is coming from the search index. And let me show you what that is. So it's essentially an asset that is being added to the result set. Let me show you that asset. This is what the design department of Contoso Electronics came up with. And it's basically living in our images library on the publishing side. And what I want to do now is basically to add that as a result to the result set. So what I do here, I just activate that query rule. I save it. And it takes a few seconds to become active. So if I'm going to the publishing page again, and it was in phones, right? Oh, just a second. And there it is. 50% discount on that specific phone. It is very easy to set up.
And still, we only have those few pages. It's not like we're editing that page in particular. We don't have to alter the page layout and add it. It's just rule-based. You drive it from the back end. You define business rules, and that is then adjusting how the site is behaving.
Do we want to take it a bit further and just actually put the item as a first item?
Yeah, it would be good if we could have it as a first item so that it's even more visible.
So this is a very powerful framework. So I can actually change how the results are being sorted. So I'm going into sorting. I'm adding a new rule. And how do I identify the product? It's the title matches. What was that? L250?
L250, yes.
So if the title of the result contains L250, I want to promote it to top.
It doesn't match. I think it contains.
Oh, it's good to have really skilled business managers as part of your team. There we go. I'm saving the rule. Again, it takes a few seconds before the rule is active. I'm refreshing the page, and there it is. The first result is the phone with the discount.
And that's great. And we can really fine-tune this, and we can even make it sort way down. And we have that kind of control we need on top of how we deliver content here without having to specify that in detail. So, and it's again, we don't change actually now the product catalog. So in my Frederick site that is also connected, it will be no change. You'll see the same experience there. So this will be a Contoso Electronics specifics experience. So this is a great tool to optimize the experience per connected site collection. So if you set up an indexing algorithm, like or how you would do that is you would configure the crawler to use what we call continuous crawl, I think.
Yep.
And there will be a latency of 1 minute, and then it will be in the index.
Yep. I think we just maybe go through, and then we have lots of time at the end to come back to Q&A.
So I think this kind of this way of actually optimizing the experience is great, and I'll just try to recap it as I understand it. So we have the standard search experience on top of the product catalog, and that provides us then with the initial search result. Mm-hmm. And that initial search result will be quite similar for all connected site collections. And then what we applied now is business logic on top of that search result, and that then resulted in a transformed and optimized experience for that particular category. So, like, if we look at the other categories, we won't see that banner that we've added. Mm. It will only be visible in the mobile phones category. So This is one way of showing you then how we can optimize the experience per category, even though we're driving everything out of these few pages. So we have another business challenge as well, and that is that we need to really, really sell the Surface now, Microsoft Surface.
It's already in the catalog. I mean, it's on this side.
It's there. Let's see. So we have the tablet. In the tablets category, we have the Microsoft Surface. But again, it's not really visible for the users that I would like it to be visible for. So I would really like to push Microsoft Surface to the edge users.
What is an edge user?
An edge user, it's typically like the early adopter, like a user that uses new technology quite fast. Like, and typically what we've seen is that they use Internet Explorer 10. So what I would like is for users using Internet Explorer 10 to really see the Surface as like with a banner, so that they really buy it. We need to have the conversion rate increased for that Surface.
We can easily do that. Let me show you how to do it. And again, we are coming back to query rules here. So I'm just reusing an existing query rule that has been defined already for tablets. So I'm just copying this one. And I call that the Surface, promotion for IE10. And the reason why using the browser as a segmentation is interesting is because it's very easy to segment users based on that. And I've done this already in the past, so let me just... this page, go to site settings and the term store. Because it's easy to define user segments in the term store. I've defined already a number of segments. Here we would like to use the user agent. So the user agent is basically the string that the web browser sends to a website in order to identify itself. So for Internet Explorer and Internet Explorer 10, this string is MSIE10.0. For IE9, it is MSIE9.0. So this is a simple segmentation of your site visitors just using the browser.
Yeah, and since we haven't connected with a CRM system yet or any other customer system, it's a great way of making sure that the users that will really benefit from the Surface can get it. So that's just great.
So now with the query rule, I can actually pick up those user segments. So the reason why I copied the previous one is that it is already restricted to tablets. So this query rule will only fire on tablets. And I can add context to it. So I can add a user segment down here. Let's call that IE10 users. And the way I define a segment is simply by picking the terms that I have defined earlier. So I'm going into user segments. User agent, IE10, picking that. I could add more terms. So this is a rather flexible way to have a highly customized user segmentation. I'm saving that. So now that query rule only triggers for IE10 users in the tablet category. What did you want to do? Make it do?
So if we could add the banner for
yeah. So let's do that. We've seen that before. So where did my image go? Here. So we have already another banner that might work. There's a Surface banner. Is this okay?
Yeah, that's great.
So let me just pick up the URL and add it to the query rule as an asset. Do you want to add some title to that as well?
Yes, Surface on sale now, for instance. Let's see.
Surface on sale now. And we'd like to render it as a banner. Good. Shall we do the same thing that we had before by just putting the Surface actually on top? Because currently it's pretty much hidden at the end of the result set. So I'm changing the sorting. So there was a Prosware promotion already, so we are changing that to Surface. So when the title contains Surface, we would like the result to be shown on top. Saving that. It was already active, okay. So let's just remove the other one to make sure that there's no interference here. So if I now go to my website and I'm using a browser, what browser is this? So the browser mode is IE10. If I'm reloading the page, the service is on sale. Oh, I didn't pick up the second part of the query rule. One more time. And there it is. The service on top, the banner is shown. If I change the browser to identify itself as IE9, the banner doesn't show, the query rule doesn't trigger. So this is a very powerful framework to have editorial control over your search results. And I didn't do anything to the page itself. The only way to enable the user segmentation is that we slightly extended the content search web part to pick up the user agent and then basically propagate it along with the query. And I think there was a blog post on how to do that on MSDN that was published yesterday.
Yes.
Yes. So if you're interested in learning how to do that, just read that blog post on MSDN.
Yeah, and this kind of opportunity to then do content targeting and make sure that the customers who actually are looking for the service find it immediately, and we can then position other products to other users, that's just fantastic. And again, tracking that when it comes to conversion rate is then, it's just a great story. So I think all of what we've gone through now is truly great. And we've been talking a lot about search. And I think search has been like we're publishing through search. And in the past, when we did sites like this, we had to plan for a separate search task. Like we had to plan with a lot of hours to get search up and running. And you needed those experts to actually get a good relevancy and search working, and it was quite costly to get search up and running on our old site. And what I really like is that with this new site, search is just working. Like, everything is search. So when we have publishing up and running, search is there. It's a native citizen of the whole site. So I'll just show you a search here now. If I search for HD camera, for instance, you see that we have several HD cameras here. Ah, and even the Surface. Let's click into that and see. Yes, HD camera. So the Surface actually has an HD camera as well. Great. I'll go back to the result page because I'm actually looking for a camcorder here. So I'll click on the cameras category here. And what you see down here is that the zoom and the screen size that we've defined for the camera category now appear. So the kind of investments I've done in optimizing the browse experience, kind of the explore experience, is now also available in the search experience, meaning that the investments I'm doing to optimize each category is also valid when doing search. And that's a great, consistent user behavior, and it makes sure that the optimal experience is shown to all users at all time. So I think that's a great scenario. So I've seen a lot of customers searching for this. But that's not a product that we're selling.
Yeah, so the search result is correct. We don't sell it. It's not in the search index, so they are on zero results.
Yeah, but I would like to actually show them our alternatives. Can we do that?
Oh, yeah, we can do that easily. So we're just going back to the query rules. Where did you search? So what did you want to change, iPad?
Yeah, so I would like to show the tablets.
So we're going to site settings, query rules again. And we had already a query rule for that that did something similar. It was called tablet alias. And what it did is basically whenever you're searching for the Kindle, which Controls Electronics also not sells, it is just rewriting the query. And you can see it down here. So search terms is the query term that you have entered. If that does not give any results, it is simply ORed with the query for tablet. And tablet returns all the items that have been marked with the tablet category. So do we want to use this and just extend it?
Yeah, so if you could do the same with iPad.
Yeah, that's good. Just add the iPad as an alternative condition. I'm saving it. Going back. Oh, it takes a few seconds to become active. Was it actually active? Maybe this one takes particularly long to become active. That's right here. There we go.
Great.
We've searched for iPad, and we get all the tablets that we have.
Great.
And it should be the same for Kindle, actually. Yes.
Perfect. So that means that we can optimize also the search experience to provide alternatives to customers. And since I'm monitoring what people are searching for and what they cannot find and so on, I can make sure that they find alternatives, that they always see all the products they're looking for. Again, it's all about increasing the conversion rate and making sure that our customers find what they're looking for. And I think this kind of solution on top of SharePoint 2013 is just fantastic. This is a high-end shopping experience. It's just fantastic.
Shall we wrap up? So, yes. So these are, again, the three things that we would like you to leave this room with. We have shown you how to build websites which are not just simple to create, but also simple to maintain over time, because they are just built on a few pages. So in our example, they were just three pages to build the entire site. But we haven't compromised the flexibility to do customizations at all using this approach. We have shown you how to build websites that engage your customers, that engage your site visitors with targeted experience. We've shown you how to use recommendations. We've even shown you how you can create personalized experiences using user segmentation. And then finally, we have shown you how to build websites which are smart, which give control to the business manager to have really an optimization for the business using the whole framework of query rules. And I think with that, there's one more slide. Yeah, these are the related sessions. Unfortunately, most of those sessions happened already, so I recommend that you check out the recordings. And with that, we hope that you have enjoyed this session, and we open up for Q&A.
Do you have different kind of designs for mobile devices, or do I have to prepare specialized views for each device?
Yeah. Should I take that? Yeah, so what you can do is you can define device channels, and device channels allow you to basically attach a different master page to a specific device. And you can define devices very similar to the user segmentation that we have done before using the user agent string. So you can define device channels based on the browser that you're using. If you know it's a mobile browser, you can use a different master page. And from then on, you're just using the same content, all the same promotions that you had, would also work across all the devices that you have. It's using the same content, the same promotions, the same rules. They are just being rendered differently because there's a different master page associated with it.
So I would definitely recommend that you see the recording of the second session listed here, the SPC 019. That explains how that would be done in a really great way.
I mean, one more session that was actually parallel to this one is to build native apps, companion apps. So in that case, you actually would live outside of SharePoint, but you would consume the REST interfaces of SharePoint to build a native app. So that would be the second to last session that I would recommend you to check out. Where is it?
Yeah.
So
the question is the only thing that's shared between the authoring side and the publishing side is the search index. So where does that sit? That's the question.
Yeah. So it's part of the SharePoint farm, right? It's the search service application that is part of the SharePoint farm. So every site collection that is connected to the same search index can consume catalogs if you're sharing them. Yeah, so the question is whether everything that we've seen here was real time. It is close to real time. So whenever you are updating the catalog, that update has to be picked up by the search index. And with SharePoint 2013, there's a new feature. It's called continuous crawl, where you can push down the latency between a content update and the update of the index down to approximately 1 to 2 minutes. So you've seen that. We didn't do any fake here. We updated the price, and it took like 1 to 2 minutes, and we've seen the effect of that on the publishing side.
So that is the continuous crawl is an important part of this story. Like in the past, the just starting the crawl for an incremental crawl took some minutes, and then you started crawling, and it was a huge operation to just do even simple, small changes. Now with continuous crawl, it's way more efficient. It feels like instant. And you can also look into the capacity planning documents that we're publishing soon on how to configure that. And we also have a poster down in the website booth where you can look at the architecture and the kind of capacity planning that we've done on this. And it's all based on then continuous scroll. Some of the numbers here are like with if you're pushing 5 updates a second, you'll see a latency of approximately 90 seconds. So that is the kind of update rate we're talking about here.
Any more questions? Yeah, please.
So, So you can change that. So, when
repeat
I connected,
the question, please. Repeat the question.
So the question is, if you'd like to change actually the SEO values or the URL for a specific category, how easy it is to do that? So there are several ways of doing that. So one way would actually be to like when I connected to the catalog, when I showed you that I connected, I'm actually there configuring how I should build that URL. So in this example, we have used the item number, but you could use the item name instead. So you do that when you connect it, and that's very easy to do. You could also choose to detach a specific category page, have one page for one category that you handcraft, and then map that into managed navigation, pointing to that ASPX page, meaning that it will look like the same experience, but when clicking on that particular option, you'll see that ASPX page. But the URL will look exactly the same. So you have several ways of crafting that. And there's a lot of flexibility when it comes to how you can map the URLs versus how you actually orchestrate the content. The whole managed navigation and search-driven concept is about detaching how you consume content versus how you author it.
Actually, one comment to that. So you've seen that there's lots of metadata in the product catalog. So the flexibility goes that far that you can use any string property of a product and use that as part of the SAO-friendly URL. So you have full flexibility there.
So, and this is actually something, this is a concept that's been used quite heavily by newspapers as well. Like you see that they have names and places and the article name, of course, as part of the URL. This is the same concept. Like you are dynamically generating the URL based on the properties of the item that you're showing. More questions?
Good. So I think if I understood the question correctly, is whether there's a difference between where the product data is being stored, whether this is a SharePoint list or an external master repository. And there is a difference. So the product catalog site collection template is really optimized to make sure that you can really harvest the richness of the product metadata along all the features which are involved here with SEO, with managed navigation, with recommendations, et cetera. So if you have your product data in a separate repository, you should consider moving it over to SharePoint, even if it's just for the publishing purpose. So you can still manage your products in a line of business system. But from a publishing perspective, it would be good to actually use the product catalog list in SharePoint as a hub in order to create a publishing experience on top of that. And you can just use the normal connectivity mechanisms with SharePoint lists in order to do that. More questions? Good. Thank you very much.